The book of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7, you'll find our motto text for the year 2019. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. We generally take a motto text for the year. It's printed on the calendar of events and also on the monthly bulletin. Just to remind you of it, we encourage you to note it and even take time over these next few weeks, if you don't already know this verse, to memorize it. It's good to do that on a regular basis, to memorize verses and passages from the Word of God. I want you to think with me today of the theme, comforting truths for times of trouble. And that's what we have in this text of Scripture. I want you to think with me for a little while this morning of times of trouble. And as we do that, can I point out to you at the beginning that there can be times of trouble nationally. That's how it was in the days of Nahum, how it was in this book. And the reality is that we're experiencing such times, times of trouble in our own nation. The nation is declining spiritually and morally. Politically, there's confusion. There's no certainty, no direction that has been given. There can also be times of trouble ecclesiastically. In other words, thinking of the Church of Christ. Do you remember that Paul, writing to the Galatians, spoke of them that trouble you? That's something that happened even in his day, back in the times of the New Testament. Trouble in the church, brethren and sisters. And how sad that is. And remember, that is what the devil wants and what he works towards. In addition to these times of trouble nationally and ecclesiastically, there's also times of trouble personally. And we're all familiar with, we've all had such times. The fact is that none are exempt from them. Job said that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Just as naturally as sparks rise, just as naturally it will be that there will be trouble in all of our lives. Everyone has had them. And maybe that's how you find yourself today. As you enter into this new year, you're facing difficulties. You're facing trouble. Remember that troubles come in various forms. It can be through sickness, ill health. Can be through death and bereavement. Maybe the loss of job, the loss of business. Perhaps a fallout in a relationship. Trouble can come in the form of persecution as we seek to be faithful to the Lord. It can come in the form of opposition as we seek to do the Lord's will and go forward for him. Times of trouble come in various forms and in many other ways in addition to those that I've mentioned to you already. Can I remind you that the writer of this book was a man called Nahum. Nahum was a contemporary of Isaiah. I want you to note that this morning. It's helpful to put a book of the Bible, particularly the prophetical books, it's helpful to put those into their historical setting. Nahum lived in the days when Isaiah was ministering, the days when Hezekiah was on the throne of Judah. The study of Bible names is something that's very profitable. And as you ponder the name of Nahum, what it means is comfort or comforter. That's the ministry that he had. He was a comforter to the Lord's people. And remember, that's what the Lord wants you to do as well. That's the sort of life, the sort of ministry the Lord wants us to be engaged in. And hear what Nahum is doing. Is he's bringing comfort to the Lord's people. The theme of the book of Nahum is the destruction of Nineveh. It's a message of doom, a message of judgment. It certainly was a day of trouble nationally. But in the midst of that message, what Nahum does is he brings a word of comfort to Judah, to God's people. And what that reminds us, brethren and sisters, is that God always has a message for his people. We need to pray that he'll give us ears to hear that message. But God always has a message for his people, even in the darkest times, even in the darkest hours of life. So here's a message of comfort for you today. In our new motto text for 2019, we have comforting truths for times of trouble. So let's consider this verse together just for a little while. I want you to note, first of all, the shortness of the time of trouble. The text speaks of the day of trouble. Notice that he doesn't say the days. It's not in the plural. He doesn't say the week or weeks. He doesn't say the month or months. He doesn't say year or years of trouble. The prophet speaks about the day of trouble, singular. And I say to you, brethren and sisters, be comforted. Be encouraged today with that truth, with that knowledge, that it is only a day of trouble. And what that reminds us of is the fact this morning, your trials and your troubles, they're not long. They're not lasting. They're something that is brief. You have only to suffer for a short time. Of course, often it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it seems as if they last forever. They never end. But the shortness of the time of trouble. You think carefully of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He described there our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now notice that. Note he says for a moment. It's not the shortest period of time. And he describes it as light affliction, but for a moment, and it worketh for us. The things that are happening in your life, contrary to what you might imagine, they're not against you, they're for you, and they work for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So I want you to say it's the shortest of periods. You say, how can that be? Well, remember, you need to compare it with eternity. You need to compare it with the glory that awaits you. We need to view all of our trials and all of our troubles in the light of God's great eternity. So our troubles are short, brethren and sisters. There is another thought in those words, the day of trouble, and it is that we learn that all our troubles come to an end. Just as every day ends, regardless of what type of day it is, whether it's a good day or a bad day, just as every day ends, so too will your troubles. So too will your trials. They will end. They won't go on forever. You think of those words, and it came to pass. They're often found and often repeated in the scriptures, and so it will be with your trials. They come, but they will also pass. They will have a close. They will have an end. And what an encouragement that is to our hearts today. You think carefully of the day Nahum is speaking of. It is the day of trouble. Notice the emphasis that's placed upon it. And the idea is this, brethren and sisters. It's the most troublous day a person can have, a person could ever experience. Everyone has troubles. We've mentioned that already in the introduction. Everyone has troubles day by day. But in most people's lives, there is a period of concentrated trial, a day when there's nothing but trouble, a day when trouble is the only thing, a day when trials come upon you. Trial comes upon trial, like waves of the sea beating in upon the shore. You think of Job. There was one messenger after another, and every messenger came not with good news. Every messenger came with awful news. In a sense, the news was getting worse. The dark tidings. He lost his family. He lost his business. Then he lost his health, and then he lost the support of his wife. In fact, he lost everything that was dear to him. It was the day of trouble in the life of Job. You think of Daniel, cast into the den of lions. Think of the three Hebrew children thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Here's something, brethren and sisters, that comes upon God's people. The day of trouble, a day filled with trouble in your life. Can I point out that the word here translated trouble is translated in other ways in the scriptures. It's always profitable to look at that, to study it. The word here that's translated trouble can also be translated distress. Jacob said to his family, the day of distress, it's exactly the same word in the Hebrew, can also mean anguish. Joseph's brothers said about the way that they treated him, we saw the anguish of a soul. So as we look at this verse, our motto text, you can say a stronghold in the day of distress, a stronghold in the day of anguish. That gives you some idea of how great, how extreme the trouble is. It is a day of unparalleled difficulties, a day of unparalleled problems. And maybe you can identify with that this morning. Maybe it's such a time in your life, in your home, in your family. It is the day of trouble. It's a short period of awful testing. If it is, brethren and sisters, then remember this. The Lord is wise, and the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is loving. And he will not keep you in the fire. He will not keep you in the trial a moment longer than is necessary. Doesn't the New Testament teach that? That God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And remember that the word tempted there in that verse is the idea of tested and tried. The Lord will not allow you to be tested one moment longer than is necessary. So the shortness of the time of trouble. I want you to see as well the sweetness in the time of trouble. Think of the start of the text. The Lord is good. It's vital, brethren and sisters, to remember that, to take that in, to ponder that great truth. Here's a doctrine of the Word of God to sweeten the bitter road, to sweeten the bitter path of life. You just consider for a moment the goodness of God. Can I ask you to take a moment and look back over 2018? Maybe take a moment and look back over the whole of your life, however long or short that may have been. And remember this as you look back. God has been good to you. You cannot deny that. That's a truth, that's a fact that not one of us here this morning can dispute. As the psalmist David said in those lovely and familiar words, goodness and mercy have followed you all the days of your life. Not some of the days, not most of the days, not the best of the days. His goodness and his mercy has followed you all the days. Every day that you have lived, you have known and experienced his goodness to you. And brethren and sisters, that's a cause for praise. That's a cause for worship as we gather in this house today. Mr. Spurgeon points out that the name God is a shortened form of the word good. We call him God because he is good. Remember, there would be no goodness. There would be no goodness in this world. There would be no goodness at all in this universe apart from God himself. And God is good in all his persons. Every person of the Blessed Trinity is good. God is good in all his providences. Every detail of his control of the events and circumstances of this world and of your life. He's good in all his providences. He's good in all his promises. Didn't Hezekiah, the king that we mentioned in whose days Nahum ministered, Hezekiah said, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. So God is good in all his promises. And God is good in all his purposes. Didn't Paul say in the book of Romans that all things, take it in afresh this morning, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. So his purposes in every event, in every situation, in every circumstance, his purpose, my friend, is eternally, unchangeably good. So I want you to be in no doubt this morning. Regardless of what is happening in your life, regardless of what is happening in your world, you can be sure of this, that God is good. And he is good all the time. Not some of the time, all of the time. And what God is doing is for your good, your spiritual, your eternal good. You may not understand what he's doing. You may not understand what he's allowing to happen and to take place. Didn't the Savior say, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter? You may not be able to fathom. You may not be able to follow. You may not be able to work out all that the Lord is doing. There are many things in this world that we will never fully understand. Remember, we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean onto our own understanding. There are many things that happen that we're never fully able to understand. But be confident of this truth, brethren and sisters. It is good. And whatever is happening is for your good. And that's what you need to see this morning. That's what you need to state today. And that's what will sweeten the bitter road that you're passing along at this moment, resting in and declaring His goodness to you. Of course, it's easy to say that in the days of sunshine. It's easy to say in the days of prosperity. But what it takes, men and women, is grace. It takes a lot of the grace of God to see it and to say it in the day of adversity. You just think of this for a moment. What does the devil want you to say? What does the devil want you to declare today in your troubles? Well, this is what he wants you to do. He wants you to criticize the Lord. And he wants you to speak evil of him. That's a solemn and a fearful thought, brethren and sisters, but it's true nonetheless. What was it that the devil wanted Job to do? What was the devil's purpose in Job's life and all that the devil did to him at that time? It was this, brethren and sisters. He wanted Job to curse God to his face. He wanted Job to speak evil of the Lord God Almighty. So I say to you this morning, be careful about that in your circumstances. We can do it so easily. But what was Job's response? We're told at the end of that first chapter, in all this, and all that happened, and all that he was brought through, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Didn't say a word against the Almighty. And what an example, men and women. You know the chorus we sing, teach the children, be careful, little lips, what you say. We should practice that at all times. But especially be careful in what you say about the Lord. The reality is this, men and women. The Lord is good. And he's good even in the day of trouble. I want you to see in the third place, there's a shelter in the time of trouble. The text says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. I want you to think for a moment of the text as we find it here in its context. In other words, in its place in the chapter. This chapter describes a storm that's raging. You take time a little later to study it carefully. It speaks of vengeance, God's wrath. You read of clouds. You read of the storm. You read of the whirlwind. There's a powerful storm that has been spoken of. The storm is God's judgment, God's wrath against Nineveh. These words were written approximately 150 years after the ministry of Jonah. What had happened was the Ninevites now rejected Jehovah. They've rebelled against the Lord. They have apostatized from the true religion. Judgment is about to fall upon them. The storm is gathering. And that's what Nahum declares here in this book. But you will know that often in the storm there's a lull. There's a ray of sunshine. There's a break in the clouds. And that's what this text is. It's the still small voice of God speaking comfort to his people. Not to the Ninevites, but speaking comfort to his people. And he's teaching, he's revealing to them, there's a shelter in the storm. And that shelter is the Lord himself. He himself is that shelter. The shelter, men and women, in the storm is not a place. The shelter in the storm is a person. It's the Lord himself. And there's many places in the Bible that remind us and teach us of that great truth. Think of Psalm 9. The Lord also will be a refuge in the times of trouble. Think of the words we sang earlier. Luther's great Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So I want you to see it's the Lord himself who is the shelter that you need today. Think of those words we sang at the offering hymn. The Lord's our rock. In him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. And I encourage you, what you need to do, my friend, today is flee to him. Flee to the Lord for refuge. flee to the Lord for safety. You ask me, how do I do that? Well, the answer is simple. It's a basic part of the Christian life. The answer is you do it by prayer. Remember, that should be the first thing you do every time the trouble comes into your life or into your home. You should take it to the Lord in prayer. What did Daniel do in the day of trouble? When his life was in danger, didn't he pray as he had done aforetime? He took refuge in the Lord. What did the Jerusalem church do in the time of trouble? When James had been put to death, Peter was now in prison. He was on death row as well. So what did the Jerusalem church do? They prayed. They fled to the Lord for shelter. And in your time of trouble, your day of trouble, I urge you to do the same. Here's what the psalmist said. This is the exhortation that he gives to us. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And that's what you need to do, my friend. Whoever you are, whatever you're facing, you need to call upon the Lord. You need to get down upon your knees and acknowledge that you need his help. You need his deliverance. And if you do that, then certain things will happen in your life. For one thing, you'll know his presence. Remember, if he's your stronghold, that means that he's with you. The Lord is present. And even more than that, he's the one that leads the way. Because the New Testament teaches when he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them. So you will know his presence. You'll also know his protection. You think of the word stronghold. Isn't that a place of safety? And Christ is a stronghold to his people that is impregnable, a stronghold that is unassailable, a stronghold that no enemy can penetrate. And even more than that, we can take it a step further up onto a higher plane, because the fact is the Lord will fight your battles. Did Moses say that to Israel in the passage we studied last Sabbath morning? Exodus 14, the Lord shall fight for you. So take comfort and encouragement and strength from that today. As well as his presence and protection, you'll know his power. If you have a Bible with a margin, look there at the alternative reading to the word stronghold and the word that's given us, strength. You can read the verse, strength in the day of trouble. The Lord is good, strength in the day of trouble. That's the most common way that that word is translated in the Old Testament scriptures. Think of Psalm 27. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. It's exactly the same word. He gives you the strength that you need for the troubles that you're facing and the days that you're passing through. And as well as all of those things, you'll know his praise. Do you know the familiar words in Nehemiah 8? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, that's the same word again. The joy of the Lord is our stronghold. You think for a moment. What will help you? What will bless you? What will strengthen you in the day of trouble? Here's one of the things. Praising. Rejoicing in the Lord. That's a great source of strength for the Lord's people at any time. And I say to you this morning, brethren and sisters, don't let the devil rob you of the joy of the Lord. Can I say to the unsaved person in the meeting, remember that you need a shelter. There's a storm coming. And that storm is the wrath of God, the wrath that is to come. And what you need to do and what we want to plead with you to do today is to flee. Flee to Christ for refuge. He is the only shelter from the storm of eternal judgment. Isaiah, in his prophecy, warned of the refuge of lies. And maybe that's what you're trusting in. Maybe you're being deceived by a false refuge for your soul. I want to urge you, men and women, don't trust in your works, don't trust in yourself, don't trust in your church. What you must trust in is Christ alone if you're going to be saved from a lost eternity. There's one other thing that I'll emphasize in the text. That's the searching in the time of trouble. The text says, he knoweth. He knoweth them that trust in him. You think just for a moment of what the Lord knows. And the fact is, he knows everything. The word we sometimes use to describe that is omniscient. No limits to the power of our God. That's omnipotent. There's no limits to place as far as presence. He's omnipresent. And then when we think no limits to his knowledge, that's omniscient. He knows everything. And the sobering truth is he knows everything about you. The Bible says he knows your works, knows your labors, knows whether you're working as you should, as earnestly as you should. The Bible says that he understands your thoughts afar off, knows every thought in your heart and mind. The Bible says there's not a word in your mouth, not a word that you speak, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The Bible says that he knows the very hairs that are upon your head. It's not sobering, men and women, the knowledge of the Lord. He knows you. He knows you as you really are. You can try to fool others, but you'll never be able to fool the Lord. And most of all, as you think of his knowledge, he knows your spiritual state today. The text says, he knoweth them that trust in him. The word know in the Bible is a very interesting word. The word know in the scriptures is the idea of intimate acquaintance. Remember that it says of Joseph, he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. So the idea of the word know in the Bible is intimate acquaintance, loving communion. And as far as the Lord knowing them that are his and the Lord knowing those that trust in him, the Lord knows, brethren and sisters, those who are really walking with him. The Lord knows today those whose hearts are right with him. And I want you to think of that. Is that true of you this morning? There will be many on that last great day who will stand before the Lord, to whom he will have to say, I never knew you. You were never saved. You never walked with him. And I wonder, will there be some in this congregation this morning that will be among them? You can deceive others. You can make a false profession, and the Bible teaches that many will. There will be many that will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name? So many will make a false profession. The New Testament teaches, Paul writing to Timothy, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows those that are really trusting in him for salvation. But remember, brethren and sisters, you can be what can be described as an unbelieving believer. You can be saved, but still have a heart that's full of unbelief. What Paul, writing to the Hebrews, described as a wicked heart of unbelief. You can be an unbelieving believer. You think of how many times in the scriptures you're commanded to trust the Lord. Think of the psalmist, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Think of the book of Habakkuk, the next book to the one that we are studying, where the great Reformation text that led Luther into the light of the gospel is found. The just shall live by faith. Think of Solomon's words in the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You think of what the Savior said during his earthly ministry, have faith in God. So I want you to think of how many times we're commanded to trust in the Lord. And the reality is, we think of those texts and the many more that there are that are very similar. The reality is, the Lord wants you to trust him, my brother, my sister. He wants you to trust him at all times. He wants you to trust him in all circumstances, in all situations. He wants you to trust him even in the time of trouble. Can I go further than that and say to you, he wants you to trust him especially in the time of trouble. Isaiah said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Is that your situation today? Dark clouds, dark circumstances, dark providences, you're walking in darkness. Well, here's what Isaiah said. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And the message of Isaiah to our hearts is, can be summed up like this, brethren and sisters, faith in the night as well as the day. You think of this fact, this truth. Who were those that stood out for God, both in sacred history and in secular history? Who were those that stood out for God? Who were those that were mightily used of God? Who were those that did great exploits in the cause of the gospel? Who? It was men and women of faith. You read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, the full mention of faith in the book of God. And you're told over and over again in that chapter these words, by faith, by faith. Can I ask you this morning, will you be such a man, such a woman, such a young person? Those who live your life by faith, those that walk by faith, not by sight, those that are known for your faith in God, your faith in the Lord. And remember, brethren and sisters, that those that trust him are the special objects of his approval and blessing. And how that should encourage you today. One of the great lessons of that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is this: without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if you're looking for things that please the Lord, here's something that's pleasing in his sight. Here's something that'll bring a smile. Bring the smile and the blessing of heaven upon you. And the fact is, the more you trust him, the more your life will please him, and the more your life will know his blessing. I'll finish just with this simple question to your hearts today. Why would the Lord bring trouble into your life? Why would he bring trouble into your home? Why does he allow those things? Well, that's a great question, men and women. A great question. One that we do well to ponder very carefully and very prayerfully, and to ponder long before the Lord. I'll give you one reason why the Lord allows trouble in your life, and it's simply this: to keep you trusting, to keep you leaning upon him. Not trusting in yourself, not trusting in your abilities, not trusting in your wealth, not trusting in who you think you are. But he brings all these things into our lives for this great purpose: to keep us looking to him and leaning upon him day by day and hour by hour. So here, brethren and sisters, are comforting truths for times of trouble. Our motto text for the year 2019, I pray the Lord has made it a blessing to you, not just today. I pray it'll be a blessing to you every day, right through this year, until the year is over. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Our closing hymn is 430. Fanny Crosby's great hymn, what some would say was her most famous, her most